Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Maybe one of the biggest weekends in college football. Lots of rivalries here. We've got Florida, Florida State on Friday. USF maybe in the last war on I-4 with UCF that has everything at stake. Of course, Michigan, Ohio State, all of that. We're going to talk to Matt Baker, who covers college football for the Tampa Bay Times, in just a moment. And also a little Deion Sanders speculation when it comes to the Bulls. So stay tuned for that. Want to wish you guys all a very happy Thanksgiving. We are thankful for each and every one of you listening to this podcast. That's why we keep doing it, because you keep listening. So thanks for that, and hope you guys enjoy your day with your family. Maybe a little football, who knows, but certainly a day to reflect, and we do that here now on Sports Day Tampa Bay. So thank you very much for the success of this podcast. This is all because of you. And we enjoy doing it, and hope to continue doing it for the foreseeable future. So enjoy your day. Wanted to start with some news that broke, I guess, late on Tuesday, over here in the States anyway. The Glazer family, which owns the Buccaneers, as we all know, confirmed on Tuesday that they would consider selling the Manchester United Football Club after 17 years of ownership. Now, they had a statement on their website. We know that the Glazers have been embattled, really, owners ever since they bought the Premier League team. They faced all kinds of opposition. And this was back when Malcolm Glazer acquired sort of the majority shareholders stake in 2005. But they said they are exploring outside funding that could pave the way for a potential buyout. Now, in their statement, they mentioned that one of the transactions could involve selling the team, but they were quick to also say that there is no guarantee that that will happen. They're just going to evaluate all the options, and they don't know that anything will happen, quite frankly. But I think it's very interesting. We know, Steve, we've seen the protests, the Glazers out, and they broke, split ties with Cristiano Ronaldo the other day. He had some things to say with an interview with Piers Morgan that went on for about 90 minutes on the same day that they announced that this was occurring. So I don't know. This feels like it's a big step, right? It doesn't guarantee that they sell it. Boy, it sure feels like they're looking to see what their options are here.
Well, I think they're hedging their bets, but it's also a negotiation ploy. It's, how much you're going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. We're considering, but don't want to sell it, or
sure.
So you better pay more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that's what it feels like. Their ownership hasn't gone as well as they would like, publicly, PR wise, etc. And so, but if you're going to get out, you're looking to get paid.
Yeah, and there are other Premier League teams that are on the market, so perhaps they want to make sure that they are in that in that same sort of neighborhood to see, well, if they're going to. Somebody's going to pay, billions of dollars for this Premier League team over here. Maybe we should let them look at ours too and see what it's worth. So that might be a competitive situation there as well. So anyway, it'd be a big step for them. I mean, I remember, it seemed so unlikely that they would buy Manchester United. I remember when it occurred, the Bucks owners, the Glazers, Malcolm in particular, was looking for an iconic sort of piece of a franchise. And at one time, right prior to them actually acquiring the majority share of Manchester United, the Los Angeles Dodgers were their pursuit, if you can believe that. They were looking. It didn't matter that it was baseball. They wanted an iconic franchise, and they went all the way to England and got one. And it just sort of very quietly went about acquiring, enough shares, and then boom, next thing you knew. And it really, because they leveraged a lot of this with some debt on the team, some personal debt to make this purchase, ever from the beginning, the fact that they were you know, first of all, from the United States, and also teams over there traditionally don't carry any debt. You know, they are cash cows for the most part, and the fans almost immediately felt like, you know, that the Glazers were just in it to siphon the profits off the franchise, weren't going to put any money back into it. They won a couple of championships, you know, over there early, and then not so much success relative to what they have been in the past. So I don't know. It just kind of feels like maybe this is the direction they're headed. Maybe they don't enjoy ownership of that franchise as much as they thought they would, but it's been 17 years, so who's to say? We'll see if anything comes of that. Before we get to Matt Baker and talk some college football, I want to remind you guys that if you're looking to save money on your electric bill, this is a big step, but I think it's one that's worth it. It's called May Electric Solar. They're a family-owned business. They've been operating and installing solar electric systems for 12 years. There's a lot of these companies out there, but May Electric Solar is committed to you for the long term. Get this. They guarantee their workmanship with a 30-year labor and services warranty. Something goes wrong in 30 years, they're out there fixing it, no cost to you. Plus, with every installation, you get $750 worth of surge protection for all your appliances. That is what you're not going to get other places. It's known as the May Difference. If you visit their Hudson showroom, May Electric displays all its products that conduct on-site testing. You can see what they're going to install. Plus, they don't use subcontractors, so you know those guys up there on the roof, those are Billy Mays guys. They're going to take care of you, no problem about it. Start saving today. Call the solar energy experts, May Electric Solar, at 727-819-2862. You can schedule a free estimate. Lower your electric bill all year long. Preserve the quality of your life and that of your appliances. That's May Electric Solar at 727-819-2862. All right, favorite time of the week. I can't believe we're coming to a close of the regular season, as sad as that might be. But boy, oh boy, do we got a lot to talk about with Matt Baker, who covers college football for the Tampa Bay Times. Matt, I want to start as close to home as we can, because you wrote a story which got a lot of attention, and when you throw this name out there, boy, is it going to get attention. Apparently, there's been some contact, maybe initiated by USF, to Deion Sanders, who is no small name in college football right now, and probably, I would guess, could get any number of jobs if he really wants them. So tell me about this inquiry and just what is the latest on that.
Yeah, so 247 Sports reported the other day that Deion or his camp have had conversations or discussions, I think was the term they used, with Colorado and USF about the opening, which, okay, well, yeah, that makes sense. If Colorado and USF didn't call Deion Sanders or his people to gauge his interest, then they should all be fired for malpractice. Right? Like, okay. Right. It's the same thing with Georgia Tech. It's the same thing with Arizona State and so on. He's the hottest name on the carousel. You have to at least inquire and figure out whether this guy might be a match. So that's kind of the first thing on this. So yeah, I think there should be conversations. What I've gathered, when Deion was a name that came up before Jeff Scott was fired from USF fans, oh, let's hire this guy. Well, I initially thought it was a long shot, maybe an extreme long shot. And I've upgraded it to doubtful. And I'll tell you why. I think the fact that – this is kind of reading the tea leaves a little bit. But the fact that the story came out the way it did, the sourcing was clear that it was from Deion's camp. Well, why would Deion's camp want this out there that he's talking with these people? Maybe there's some legitimate interest, right? The other thing is it's negotiating, leveraging them off of each other, or into compared to other jobs that are open or will be open. So that kind of one lens I'm viewing it through. The other lens that I'm viewing this through is something Brett McMurphy, Tampa's own Brett McMurphy, tweeted on Tuesday as well, that it looks like Deion's history with Prime Prep Academy, which was a charter school that he co-founded, is becoming an issue with some schools and some presidents. And it was a complete disaster. That's well chronicled if you want to go out and read all of it. The school was in like $650,000 in debt when it closed, just a complete disaster. And this, I hope you're sitting down, but there's apparently some people on college campuses who care about academics and might, they might not take kindly to a guy, hiring the guy who will be the highest paid employee at the school, who, had a major issue with the charter school. That might not sit kindly with everybody. So I view those two things in relation to each other, that maybe Deion hasn't been the slam dunk Georgia Tech, Arizona State hire that I expected him to be this cycle. And if that's the case, then that might be good news for USF, right? Where USF is, let's be honest, they're not the most attractive job that's open and won't be based on some of the other openings that might happen. But if Dion's not the right match for some of the others, they're not right for him, he's not right for them, whatever, and Dion thinks maybe this is the time to go, then maybe USF has a chance at this after all.
You know, that's just really a smart sort of analysis, because I remember the whole collapse of that Prime Prep Academy, and, yep. You know, for better or worse, when you're running a major college football program, you're sort of the CEO, and you have access to a lot of resources, and you are the face of that franchise, for better or for worse, and really the most popular face in the college itself. And so I don't think it's that far off to think that there are probably a few school presidents, as they delve into that, that hit the caution button, you know, that little light starts flashing, man. And, you know, I mean, there's a couple things, right? I mean, I've always thought that, you know, USF has this word potential, right, because of where it's located. I mean, you are in the center of a hotbed of high school football talent. He's from nearby, not that it matters, but he's from nearby Fort Myers. His son plays quarterback, am I correct?
You're
about
correct.
That? So that's always going to be probably a connection no matter where he goes. And so this would be a step up, if you will, to a better conference, perhaps, from that standpoint. So you're right. I mean, I think when we began this sort of cycling period, it was like, well, Deion Sanders, hottest name in college football. You think he could get any job? I kind of like what you're saying, Matt. I kind of think that maybe it's not a great fit for every school president. That's all I would say.
Right. And let me address something else that I've had some people ask me about. Well, Jackson State didn't seem to think the Prime Prep was an issue. Why would USF? Why would Colorado? Why would Georgia Tech? Why would whoever? Well, the thing I would counter that is every school is different, right? Like,
sure.
What I might be cool with, I, you know, maybe I'm an AD. I'd be cool with hiring Bobby Petrino because he would win. I'd be cool with hiring Urban Meyer because he would win. And a different AD might think differently. And it's a different strokes for different folks kind of thing. When what might have been okay with Jackson State, that might not have been an issue. Or maybe they looked into it and said, you know what, he hired the wrong people, but he's learned because of X, Y, and Z. And he's going to hire the right people this time because we're here to help him. So, like, there's different ways to view that, but it's certainly not crazy to think that would be an issue that presidents might have. That would be a little bit of a turnoff with some people. So I don't know where this is all going to go. Again, I still think Dion is doubtful with USF. I don't think it's that much of a step up for him. When he's talked about, and I guess more so been asked about, job openings in the past, he's said, not the NFL, I'm not doing that. But he's never ruled out Power Five right. Specifically. And yeah. Again, some of that might have been the way the questions were asked, and some of it might have just been the money, right? Like, he doesn't need the money. But his point has been, I'd be foolish not to listen, because it's not money for me, it's the money's for my staff. And the difference, yes, there's a difference between Jackson State money and USF money. But there is a difference between Jackson State money and Arizona State money, right? Absolutely. Arizona State's football coach was making $1.5 million more than Jeff Scott, just as to throw out a number to give you some context here. So that's why I've always thought his next move would be Power Five, but maybe he's looking at this saying, you know what, I want to get now, just get while the getting's good, and USF might be my best option. That might be more appealing than Colorado. And then I guess just one other thing on this, the coaching carousel is obviously not done. The season is not over. There's going to be games played this weekend that are going to affect things. The obvious example that comes to mind, Auburn hasn't hired anybody.
Correct.
There's a lot of speculation in the industry that Lane Kiffin is going to go from Ole Miss to Auburn. If he does, again, not reporting that, but use that hypothetical. If he does, then the Ole Miss job opens. Dion would seem to be a slam dunk for Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So that's the type of dominoes and moving parts that are happening here that are going to affect USF and Dion and a bunch of other places.
Okay. If I had to pin you down with thumbtacks and you had to tell me on this day who USF's next head coach will be, you would say?
Tom Herman is who I would say.
Okay.
I still think, I think we talked about it on here. The next head coach is going to have head coaching experience.
I agree.
Feel pretty strongly about that, and going to have Florida ties. Herman has recruited Florida, not a ton, but I think his success in the AAC and the fact that, again, he does have some experience in this state, and I think he'd be able to hire a good staff with ties in the state. And he's enough of a name that I think he would be the front runner. The other ones that I keep talking about, keep mentioning, Jamie Chadwell at Coastal Carolina, Jason Candle at Toledo, Willie Simmons at Florida A&M, and Larry Scott at Howard. Those are the names that I kind of keep hearing that also seem to make the most sense based on just the criteria that Michael Kelly has said explicitly or kind of said implicitly as well.
Those are great, great names, and we'll see. I guess they want to hire a coach sooner than later. I keep hearing December 5th is a day. Is that right? A big day? For
Yeah, because that's kind of when the transfer portal opens, where all this stuff becomes out in the open more. So you want somebody in there by then who can say, okay, this is the roster that I have. We have really good receivers, but we need more tight ends. Or we're going to lose all of our receivers, and therefore I need to sign 10 more. You know, whatever the case may be. Get a feel for who do we have, who are we in danger of losing, who can we get in, what are all the numbers, what are all the specific prospects and everything, and really hit the ground running with a chance to succeed over the next couple weeks after that, where it's really, really, really going to be pivotal.
Only a couple weeks away from that, as a matter of fact, so that'll be something to watch. Meanwhile, speaking of things to watch, this could be the final war on I-4 as we know it, USF hosting Central Florida. That game is on Saturday. We'll get to Florida, Florida State in a minute, but let's talk about this. Boy, what a way to put a thorn in the side of UCF. If you're the Bulls, you can prevent them from playing in the American Athletic Conference championship game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's still a scenario where if UCF could lose but still get there, but it's thorny and complicated, and for all practical purposes, if USF beats UCF, the Knights are not going to make it to the conference championship game. And let's face it, there's the bragging rights of this trophy. Nobody, USF was talking about it on Tuesday during their interviews. I don't think there's anybody in that room who has held the trophy. And the fact, so that obviously means something. And the fact that this is going to be the last one, I don't think it's going to be the last one ever, because ADs at both schools have said they would like to make it work. But it's going to be the last one for a while, because UCF is moving to the Big 12 this summer, and then there's going to be different, you know, so this game goes from being a conference game to a non-conference game, because college football is stupid. Non-conference schedules are filled out years in advance, where like Clemson's playing somebody in 2035, or like, we already know some things way out there. So it just, the scheduling's not going to work for a bit. So this is going to be the last one for a while, and that adds extra, you know, even more juice to this. It obviously makes me, you know, I'm sad to see it go on hiatus, even if it's only for 5 years or whatever, because you give USF and UCF fans, you know, give them beer, give them truth serum, ask them what they want. They would much rather play these guys, right? USF, maybe they can get a rivalry going with FAU, but it will not be the same. Maybe UCF plays Texas Tech in 10 games in a row that are all 59-56, absolute bangers, and it's fantastic. It is not going to be the same as USF-UCF, because people in Tampa, Orlando, Lakeland, wherever, work, and the guy at the cubicle down the hall, he went to the other school as you. And that's something you're not going to get with Texas Tech and UCF or Kansas State or whoever it is. So I'm sad to see this go, but this is a big one just because it's going to be the last for a while. But I'd also point out that I think it was in 2008 they thought it was going to be the last maybe ever, and it ended up coming back. So that's my optimistic spin on it.
Speaking of the Bulls, I don't know how many quarterbacks they had over there, but this last guy, he kind of lit it up, man. He completed quite a few passes in a row there. What's going on with the USF new quarterback?
Yeah, give Byron Brown a ton of credit. Completed his first 21 passes, single-game completion percentage of 84%. Which is the highest in USF history. He played really well. And I mean, sure, we can nitpick if we want. It's Tulsa. Tulsa's got a lame duck coach. Tulsa's defense isn't good, blah, blah, blah. I don't care, man. for a freshman to make his first start in that situation with a bunch of injuries all year. I mean, and a staff that, you know, this is a lame duck staff, right? Where the you know, nobody knows on that staff who's going to be there in a couple weeks, or actually a couple days, I should say. And for him to go out and play the way he did, that's a huge credit to him, and it's a huge credit to Trickett and the offensive staff as a whole to find a way to keep pushing and make this work. I mean, Brown was, go back to August, he was their number four quarterback, right? Behind Bohannon, and McLean was in the picture, and Marsh. And so for him to go from, okay, probably going to redshirt this year, most likely, maybe I'll see a couple garbage time snaps, to starting in a conference game and again, statistically having one of the better games in USF history. That is absolutely remarkable.
Yeah, it really is. And I always say this, and maybe he just had the game of his life, but I think when you prepare for your moment like that and then you get it and you take advantage of it that way, sometimes special shows up really early. And I don't mean like he's the greatest athlete or he's Joe Montana, but by the same token, that's the way to make an introduction in college football. You know, down the road, whether it's at USF or someplace else, people will remember they have the game tape now, and it's very rare to do for any quarterback, much less making your first start. So I was very impressed with what he was able to do. I don't care who it was against. You know, those are college football players out there, and they're competing, and, you know, good for him. So that'll be a great game that you will be at on Saturday. But on Friday, let's go to the one that I've waited for pretty much all year, and gosh darn it, couldn't Florida had just handled their business at Vanderbilt to make this thing a little more spicy? I mean, we were both kind of headed towards the right place, an interesting Florida State game. And now I don't know what I'm going to get with the University of Florida in this game.
You know, you know as well as I do in this business, Rick, sometimes you kind of have to balance what I'm writing this week versus what I'm writing next week or the week after.
That's right.
Because, like, you know, this was a better story for later in the week, but who knows what will happen. So I'm looking at a headline from a story on TampaBay.com written by some Matt Baker hack. Florida Gators, FSU set for biggest showdown since 2016. It's a start. So that was 9 days ago. And your brilliant correspondent here talked about how both teams were headed in the right direction. And, you know, Florida would still have an outside chance at 9 wins and this, that, and the other. And then they laid a negative. So there's a lot of layers to the Vanderbilt onion, right?
Right.
Let's start by giving Vanderbilt credit. I think a lot of people, including myself, thought they would be better this year with year two under Clark Lee, who's very respected in the business. Mm-hmm. But better would be like, yeah, you're still probably going to lose all your conference games. And they didn't. They beat Kentucky. And so they have made progress. So start credit there. The second part is Florida has often struggled on those sleepy 11 o'clock games in Nashville, that even mm-hmm. when they've had good teams, they've struggled up there. So that's not crazy either. The other part to this is I go back to something I wrote, I think it was after the Vanderbilt, or not the Vanderbilt, Missouri game, where Florida is good enough to hang with anybody and bad enough to lose to just about anyone. Mm-hmm. And the South Carolina, the six quarters from the second half of Texas A&M through South Carolina made me think they had turned a corner. But really, I think Florida played really well there. A&M is a dumpster fire, and South Carolina just laid an egg. I think it's kind of that simple. And Florida goes back to being who we thought they were. You know, I said many times in the offseason, 7-5 was what I thought. They've still got a chance for that, although, you know, I would think Florida State would win is what I would pick right now. So 6-6 there again, and just up and down. I think that's kind of where they are right now, where their highs have been very high. Now, they had a great third quarter against Georgia where they went from down 25 to down 8. And I didn't ever think they would win, but they made it competitive and made me think, oh, maybe they got a chance here. And then their bads have been pretty bad too. Again, Vanderbilt, just all the mistakes, penalties, and muff punt, and all that stuff. So they've just been up and down, which is what you kind of expect for Billy Napier's first year. And this is maybe a little bit lower than what I had thought. And obviously that's causing some angst and frustration in the fan base.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading a headline and part of your story. I mean, listen, I agree with you in this sense. I have confidence in what Billy Napier is doing. I think people have to remember that this is his, you know, not his third year like they have, you know, under the program at Florida State. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me the other day, this was a question that came up, I think, on the mailbag. Would you be more confident in, you know, Florida State and them going forward in their personnel, or Florida and their personnel going forward? And I would just say, if Florida is being Florida, if they are recruiting the way I think they can recruit with all their resources, with the history of that program, with being in the SEC, nothing against Florida State. Florida should be the dominant team in this state. I've always believed that. Now, that's not always the case, and credit Bobby Bowden for all those years and national championships, and you know, obviously they got it done with Jameis Winston and Jimbo Fisher and all that too. So they've got the titles, and that's fine. But I think Napier's going to be just fine. I think that the Florida program is also going to stay on the rails here.
Yeah, I think so too. Let me rephrase that. Vanderbilt game definitely gave me more pause. Because
absolutely,
I thought they had turned a corner, and yes, you get, you know, you play like that, there's issues, but there's also reasons why there's issues, right? Like, go mm-hmm. back to the muffed punt that Vanderbilt's long snapper recovered for a touchdown, and hey, snapper touchdown, how about that? so okay, why did that happen? Well, it was kind of a fluky thing where the you know, returner lost it in the sun.
Yep.
So, okay, you can chalk it up to some degree to bad luck. Also, he was their third string punt returner who was in that position because of injuries. Mm-hmm. And you can also remember that Florida does not have a lot of depth. And some of that is Dan Mullen's recruiting misses. Some of it is the fact that these are not Billy Napier's guys and they don't necessarily fit what he wants to do. And then again, just injuries, that bad luck and attrition that happens everywhere. So there's a lot of factors just in that one play that I think we kind of need to put into context. The other thing I want to say about just Florida's future, I sat down with Brian Maggard, who is the athletic director at Louisiana. Mm-hmm. I sat down with him on Saturday because the Noles were hosting Louisiana, and I want to chat with him about Billy. And he had some interesting things to say. Just because obviously fans were frustrated at that point. And this was a couple hours before the Vanderbilt game. And I just want to read something that he said. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, I know people are upset because I saw him getting flack on social spaces and because they dropped a couple games. But it's just like, it's like, just let this guy do his job, right? Mm-hmm. Give him some time because he knows what he's doing. And I asked Brian if he still feels strongly that he believes that Napier can do this. And he said, absolutely. He compared him to Bob Stoops at Oklahoma, where he was a kind of a younger coach who brought OU back to where they're supposed to be. They won a national title, played for a couple others. Every year, just about, they were in the mix, won a zillion Big 12s. There's no doubt in my mind Florida's going to be extremely successful. And he said he believes that wholeheartedly. So, again, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know how this is going to work out. But I do know that the guy who hired him in the first place, again, Louisiana was not a huge destination job. Billy Napier was not a huge name at the time either. And their first year, they went 7-7. They won the division, lost in the conference title game, lost the bowl game. So they were fine, but not great. Year two, they took off. And that's because of everything that's going to happen at Florida here in the next couple weeks with attrition, right? There's going to be, I think there's already been 6, 8, 10 guys enter the portal or say they're going to enter the portal or leave for other reasons. So there's going to be a ton of attrition, which is going to give Billy the chance to bring in his guys. The recruiting class, that last I checked, I think is 8th in the country and would be one of the better ones Florida signed in a while when you look at just not just the stars, but where those guys are ranked. So you add that into the fact that he'll have another year to get in his culture and all that stuff. Next, you can look at this and get some sort of gauge this season as a whole. But next year is where we're really going to be able to tell, can he do it or not? So that's how I'm viewing it.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. And I still am excited about this game because I don't know what's going to happen. I think Florida State's a much better team. They've got momentum. The game is there. Am I correct about that?
Correct.
So, you know, everything seems to lean towards the Seminoles. But Florida's not going to be intimidated by anything they see at Florida State, and so they're going to compete and probably compete as hard as they had.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We've got lots of this is rivalry weekend, maybe my favorite weekend of the college football season. We finally get here, and we have some traditional and some great matchups. I'm going to run through them a little quickly here for you, Matt. Okay. You tell me what you think, yes or no, about some of these matchups. Let's start with Notre Dame at USC. I don't watch every college football game, but I know this. Caleb Williams might be the Heisman Trophy candidate this year that could take the trophy. I don't know that I've seen a better quarterback, and I haven't seen him play much, but I did see him play the last week or so, and he's impressive. Notre Dame, all they've done is knock off a bunch of ranked teams after a slow start. So traditional rivalry, what do you like about this game?
Yeah, I like the fact that it's relevant again. Because USC has been kind of middling for a while. So this is one of those great helmet games. I like the fact that it's going to have buzz. I don't quite know what to make of Notre Dame because they had it laid a couple eggs, but they've been really good the last month or so, beating Clemson, Syracuse, and all those guys. So I just want to see more from Caleb Williams. Because you're right, he put himself in the Heisman Trophy conversation.
Absolutely.
People were saying earlier in the year, watch out for him. I mean, if you saw him at Oklahoma, dude's a star, right? There's no question. Mm-hmm. But the fact that the way USC's schedule was backloaded, where UCLA was going to be a big-time game, Notre Dame is a big-time game, and then the Pac-12 championship, probably against Oregon, that's going to be a big-time game. So you give him three high-profile chances to end the season. If he goes off with another 500 yards or whatever it is, he's going to be very much in that conversation. The other thing I want to say on this is Florida State has a chance at the Orange Bowl here. There's some things that need to happen in order for the Noles to get into the Orange Bowl. Obviously, they have to beat Florida. That's number one. But they need Clemson to make it to the playoff. And then they need a couple other – and for that to happen, they need a couple things there. And one of them is USC losing to Notre Dame. There are scenarios where USC wins and things could still shake out. But one of the dominoes that probably needs to fall is for USC to lose to Notre Dame, which also beat Clemson, and that would kind of maybe eliminate USC from the conversation in the playoff and give Clemson a better shot of being in the Final Four. So that's, if you're a Florida State fan, want to go back to the New Year's Six, that's one of the things to kind of keep an eye on there.
Gotcha. Interesting. Oregon State doesn't always grab my attention. This one does. Tell me what's at stake in this game.
Yeah, so Oregon's got a chance at the Pac-12, making it to the Pac-12 title game. I want to just see how healthy Bo Nix is at quarterback. He's had a great year for the Ducks after transferring from Auburn, where he was just really good and really bad, and sometimes in the same place or same game, sometimes the same drive. He's been banged up. If he's not healthy, Oregon State absolutely has a chance in this one. They used to call it the Civil War. I don't know what they call it now. But Oregon State's just a gritty team under Jonathan Smith. They don't have like a bunch of stars. They just play really tough, and they're a really tough out. So, yeah, that's absolutely going to be a really good game.
Tulane and Cincinnati, they got something at stake, right, in the American Athletic Conference?
Yeah, winner of that is going to host the AAC championship game next week. Realistically, will be the favorite to make the get the Group of Five spot in the New Year's Six Bowl. I think Tulane's been able to run the ball really well. I think they've got a fun offense, and look, give Cincinnati credit for being where they are. They lost so many guys to the NFL last year, including Jerome Ford, the running back from Armwood, Desmond Ritter, quarterback Sauce Gardner, and for them to still be obviously they're not as good as they were last year. You don't lose half dozen NFL guys or whatever it was and stay the same at the Group of Five level. But for them to still be in the conversation where they've got a very real chance at winning the conference again and getting to the Cotton Bowl or whatever, that's a big sign for what Luke Fickell's been able to do.
Yeah, Luke Fickell's just an amazing coach, and it's lucky of Cincinnati really to be able to hang on to him. All right, I know Lane Kiffin is trying to coach every SEC team before his career is over, and maybe he makes it all the way to Auburn. However, I think if Auburn upsets Alabama in the Iron Bowl, they sign Cadillac Williams to an extension right there on the field.
I think you're probably right, just because of how beloved he is there. And you know, if he would have done that, I think he would have won 3 out of 4, right?
Right.
So I would certainly think he deserved that opportunity, but I don't see that happening. This is not a juggernaut Alabama team the way we've seen it in the past, but I think at a certain point, you know, Nick Saban's obviously good enough and has got enough dudes on that side or on both sides to have a chance there to beat an interim coach and get Auburn back to being Auburn, which is a complete dysfunctional mess that will play out in the next couple of days or weeks as they look for a new coach.
It's going to be fun. It's always fun at Auburn when it comes to coaching. Save the best for last, because Steve Versnick wants to know, in the worst way, whether the Jim Harbaughs of Michigan can take down the C.J. Strouds at Ohio State. So, listen, what, Harbaugh's won one in a row in this rivalry? Maybe he can make it two? Winner goes to the national championship tournament, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. I mean, even if they were, I can't entertain a scenario where one of them loses to Iowa next week. I can't do that. I'm sorry. So yeah, basically win and you're in. The loser is still going to have a shot too, especially if Michigan wins, where Ohio State has a win over Notre Dame. And if we look at, again, some of the scenarios here, if it's a one loss Ohio State team that didn't win the Big Ten versus a one loss Clemson team that won the ACC, they're going to look at, okay, who did you play?
Sure.
Okay, Clemson lost Notre Dame. Ohio State beat them.
Beat them. Mm-hmm.
Beat them by, I think it was 11, and it probably didn't quite feel that close. So that's going to be a big point in Ohio State's favor. One-loss Michigan is going to have a tougher road just because their non-conference schedule was so weak. They had a game scheduled against UCLA, which ended up getting canceled and would have helped both teams. So Michigan really needs to win, because otherwise I don't see a path. The game itself, I don't have a good read on it. I'm sorry, that's bad radio, that's bad podcast, but I don't have a good read because of the injuries. You know, Blake Corum got banged up last week. Obviously, he's a star running back at Michigan, makes that whole thing go.
Sure.
If he's healthy, relatively healthy, that's a big boost. If he's limited at all, I got major questions there. Then on the other side, Ohio State's been banged up, right? C.J. Stroud didn't quite look like himself kind of late in the Maryland game. Travion Henderson, their just explosive running back, hasn't really looked like himself this year either, and he was banged up. Jackson Smith and Jigba, who entering this year might have been the best receiver in the country. I don't know. Either he's played a little bit or hasn't played at all this year, and maybe there's a chance he comes back and can do something. I'm not counting on it. But those are four of the most talented guys that could be in this game, and I don't know what how many of them are going to play, to what extent, how healthy, which makes it really hard for me to see this, just to have a good read on it. But I do know that Ohio State, Michigan usually delivers. They're both in the top five, both realistic national championship hopes. I think it's going to be just an awesome game and awesome atmosphere and what the sport is about.
Well, we know that Steve Versnick will have on his maize and blue, and he'll be ready to go for that one. So I'll go ahead and watch my namesake try to take down Michigan. But for Jim Harbaugh, this is always a lot of fun and a big game to see if he can win two in a row. All right, he's Matt Baker. He's going to be at Friday night's Florida State-Florida game and then double-dipping UCF-USF over at the Raymond James Stadium on Saturday. You can follow him in the Tampa Bay Times and on Tampa Bay. com. Matt, thanks for a great most of the regular season here, and have fun at the games.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Great weekend in college football, but before that, of course, you have your Thanksgiving Day games. Those are all going to be good. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Enjoy the turkey, the sides. If you listen to the previous podcast, the mailbag questions, you know which side is more important, what goes with what. Is it gravy? Is it mashed potatoes, stuffing, cranberry, all of that. Go ahead, splurge, get your calories. Even Tom Brady is going to partake of a more traditional Thanksgiving Day fare. And for TB12, that's saying something. So enjoy that. Be safe. We got a big weekend, of course, in sports. We'll get you ready tomorrow for the Bucks at Cleveland as they come off their bye week, see if they can regenerate some of the momentum that they had in Germany. And then a big weekend in college football, as we just documented. We'll talk all about that on tomorrow's podcast. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud, the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.